we're on our own. It's just regular people like us. It's moms and dads, and we don't have money behind us or anybody. It's really just us. We sell t-shirts so we can have picnics and stuff. Like, that's really, it's that, like, homemade. But it works.
It's grassroots, and I'm proud of that. Very proud. Yeah. This is grassroots.
It is.
So, and we're going to continue to win with the grassroots. Hi, you're listening to We Are Reopen Bucks. In this series, we sit down with some of the key players in the reopen movement and discuss their experiences navigating the pandemic. Today, I'm here with the owners of Transcend Fitness Club in Newtown, husband and wife duo Tommy and Jessica Coates. Tommy and Jessica made the brave decision in May 2020 to open their gym ahead of the schedule being ordered by Governor Wolf. In fact, they were the very first business owners in Bucks County to make that decision. Welcome, Tommy and Jessica. Thanks for chatting with me today.
Thanks for having us.
So I want to go back to that last sentence there. Very first business owners in Bucks County to make that decision. It's hard to put enough emphasis on that because back when we were in red phase, we find ourselves working through this color code system. There were probably in Reopen Bucks alone, I would say a few dozen businesses that eventually opened ahead of their schedule. You guys were the first, the very first to post in the group. Still to this day, actually, that post, which we'll get to in a minute, I want to read it for everyone. It's still like one of the top few most interacted with, most popular posts of all time. So that was obviously a huge decision. It's kind of like you broke the ice. You went through the door first and a bunch of people came behind you. So to get there, let's actually start by taking me all the way to the beginning. All right, let's rewind to when COVID starts, like March of 2020. What was the initial impact to the Coates family and to Transcend?
Initially, I think we were just trying to do the right thing, as most places who shut down did. You know, we're trying to figure it out. It's completely thrown for a loop when they're telling you that you have to shut down in general. So we were trying to figure out, we were so clouded by trying to figure out what else we could do to make people's membership worthwhile, to keep the business going while we were shut down. So we were doing stuff online, we were doing videos and all of that stuff. So you kind of, the first couple weeks were us just trying to figure out what we could do. Okay, we can handle this. It's for 2 weeks, it'll be fine, we'll figure it out. So we just kind of had that positive attitude, and as it got longer and longer, and they kept just putting a hold and a block for this, and you're not going to do this, and all the negative parts of that, you know, like the red phase and all of those crazy things, we just kept looking at each other, and like at the end of the day, once you put the kids to bed, you're looking at each other like, what are we going to do? Like, how do we keep doing this, and how, right, what's next?
It was the lack of communication from all over the place, from top to local. Nobody knew. It was the first time in modern day history that the country was told, you can't go to work, you can't do what you're supposed to do to provide for your family. That was difficult for us at the time, you know, 30 some years old, 30 maybe. That's all we ever knew, is to wake up, go to work, provide for our family. And now all of a sudden you can't do that. You're not supposed to do that. Let's take 2 weeks off. And again, like Jess said, okay, we're trying to do the right thing as members of the community who,
right,
who influence a lot of community members as they come to our gym. You know, it was only supposed to be 2 weeks. So we said, all right, let's just do that and we'll get back on track.
And here we are 2 years later. So at the time, you mentioned, you know, being young family, you have young children that are a part of this whole equation. How long had you had Transcend at that point? Like, what's kind of the history of Transcend leading up to that moment?
Ooh. We're at 11 years now. So we were at, wow, 9 years, just hitting that, you know, 9 year mark, I think. And for the first, you know, 5 years of it, we had been the most, I mean, we've had employees, but we were the ones that were here the most in the beginning. And as you build the business, you try to hire employees to help out, so there's less stress on you. Yeah. So we were finally getting to that point at 9 years where we could take a deep breath and like not always be here 24/7 or not always be worried 24/7. We had a great staff. And yeah, COVID really threw us for a loop.
What about gym membership at that time? So before you make the decision to reopen the gym, like you said, Tommy, the weeks are kind of turning into months. Were members deciding to like shut down their membership because, hey, I can't go work out, so I'm gonna...
So we were in stride, we'll call it early 2020, November, December, January. We were hitting our full stride. We were doing our largest revenue. We had the most members. We had the most employees. Things were really starting to come to fruition from all the work we put into it. We knew it would get there, but man, we were rocking. And then we shut down for 2 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 weeks. And our number one concern was communication. We vowed to communicate everything to the members. Aside from our daily workouts we were posting, we were also taking phone calls and sending emails just saying, hey, this is what's happening. And it got to probably the 2 week, 3 week point, and people started saying, hey, I support you, but I'm not, you know, ready to continue membership, because we didn't necessarily stop billing members. We were forthcoming and said, hey, we will honor this membership on the back end when we reopen in 2 weeks, 4 weeks, whatever it was at the time. And as many supporters that there were just as many who weren't ready to make that financial contribution. And that's fine and understanding.
Right. There's a lot of other people at the same time mm-hmm. going through the same issue, right? Like, if you're being told to stay home and you're not getting paid as, you know, the same money coming in, you can't justify the 50 mm-hmm. to 100 bucks a month that you're spending at the gym, and you're not even getting to use it. Mm-hmm. So we understood everybody's position. And I think we even got some pushback from people who didn't agree with the way that we handled it. But we tried to do what was best at the time, or what we thought was the best.
We paid all, I don't know, remember, 14, 16 employees were paid in full through the entire shutdown. We never, they never missed a paycheck. I don't know that we took any paycheck. I honestly don't recall. But again, the communication was, hang in there with us. You can choose to donate it to the staff, or we will reimburse you on the back end. We got to 6 weeks, 8 weeks, and looked at each other like, we might owe north of $100,000 in the next couple of days when we choose to reopen. If we don't do that now, that number's going to climb and we're buried. Because I think her and I would honor everything, all of our word through all of the communication. I don't think we would ever go back on that.
Yeah. You had mentioned timeline and the importance of timeline. And at that point, you're looking at that number. That's a big, scary number. We had just come out with like this idea of there's going to be color codes and all this nonsense, but there was always a big question mark about timelines. That was even, you never had an answer as to like, look, when can we go back to work? Just give me a date.
Right. Well, that was the frustrating part. And I think that's one of the reasons why we just made the decision on our own, because they kept saying, pushing it off and off, you know what I mean? Like, it was the 2 weeks and it was the 4 weeks, and they just kept pushing it off. And every time you watch the news, like, gyms was at the very bottom of their list, yeah. right? Like, the fitness facilities were just the last thing, because apparently we were the most spreadable, you know, they were saying that everybody would spread it very easily in the gym. So, and when we're looking at each other at this point, like, saying we're now, I think we are at 40% revenue, into that second month that we were closed. So we were only 40%. We were still trying to pay our employees. We were still trying to work with our members. But we couldn't function on that, as you know, we've for 9 years built this company, and we're going to lose it in 2 months, 3 months. If I stay closed for another 2 months, we're done. We're closing the doors. We're selling the equipment to hopefully just make ends meet and break even from the bills that we owe and the people that we owe and all of those things. Like he said, we would have honored those people who supported us in that membership, but we're closing the doors. And we weren't ready to commit to that. It was, we weren't ready to just give up.
And you know, we're resilient people, we're fighters. And, you know, I think you have to keep in mind that there were a lot of jobs being lost. Nobody was hiring. So when Jess said we put our kids to bed and we would look at each other and be like, what are we going to do? That's when it really hit home and it became emotional for us. And that was the foundation for us making the decision to forge our own future.
So there you go. We're at, I'm going to say we're approaching May 15th when this was posted by you, Tommy. I'm going to read this post you made because, like I said, this is a pivotal moment in Bucks County, certainly in Reopen Bucks. This was when everything changed. Many, many people eventually found their courage in some way, not just business owners, but all the people who eventually would stand up and fight in their own way. And it feels to me like you guys were the first. So again, here's what the post is, okay? Quote, after much deliberation, my wife and I have decided to open our business, Transcend Fitness Club in Newtown, tomorrow, 7 a.m. The decision is a direct reflection of the absent timeline of return. While our members' health is a key factor for our reopen, the majority of the decision was based on our three sons at home, ages 6, 5, 4. Like most family-owned small businesses, we are not set up with months of liquidity for events like this. Instead of fearing the loss of the business, we're choosing to take matters into our own hands. We hope you all choose to support this decision now and in the future as we try to regrow what we have built over the last 10 years. Likes, shares, comments, we need all of it. Thanks. End quote. I want to go back to the very first three words, after much deliberation. So it's very easy for the vast majority of people who are a part of the reopen movement to just say, you know, I support you, just reopen, just reopen. You have that whole side of things. What's the deliberation on the other side? I mean, the risks. You mentioned the mounting debt and everything that you're looking at trying to fix. Still, it's a really hard decision because you're talking about defying a governor's order, potentially dealing with all kinds of different things. So just walk me through a little bit about what that deliberation was like.
We didn't know what the consequences were. You could Google, you know, whatever ramification you wanted. What is the penalty for opening against the governor's orders? And as you started typing it, it started to populate because everybody was looking into it. Our thought, and we would talk to people, what do you think would happen? You know, is, are the police going to show up? Are we going to get locked up? We need to make arrangement for our kids because at this point, deliberating, we said we're going to do it. It was, everything was on the table.
I think that the difference we had from most other, like restaurants and stuff like that, when we talked to other other owners of businesses when we were doing this, like they were afraid of losing their board licenses. So like whether it's a liquor license or whether it's I'm not sure what all of the different ones are, but a lot of them were afraid that there would be ramification from the Board of Health that they weren't going to be able to get back or that they would. Fortunately, we don't have that type of problem with the fitness industry. So it was really just us, and the only person that really could push back on us was the governor, and the likelihood in our heads of him actually showing up at our door, we were like, hey, bring it on, because I think even with seeing in the reopen group, and that was a huge, huge push for us of support. So we were like, you know, if we get arrested, well, I guess I'm going to reach out to Josh and hope that he can help us find find somebody to fight this. But
we literally had nothing to lose at that point. Everything was already lost. We could only climb up from there.
So it's almost like you held out until you saw you're at the point where even if you just liquidated everything you had built, that would just get you to ground zero. So that was literally as long as you could hold out.
Correct. It was it.
So then, I mean, you mentioned police. I'm curious, do you know if you guys are under like Newtown PD here or who's local police?
Yep.
Okay. So one of the things that always really bothered me was when police kind of overstepped their bounds in this story. And there were some examples across the state of like state troopers even going into gyms and stuff like that. Do you guys ever have any run-ins or issues with police here?
No.
We've always had such a great relationship with Newtown PD long before this. Everything from their coffee with a cop to our own events, they would stop by. We asked them to police the community here on our grounds at the gym. And we weren't sure if we crossed the line, if they were going to show up. That first morning we opened, again, we got a couple phone calls, mostly just, you know, BS and
angry people from the community.
We didn't know what was going to happen. It was, I don't know, maybe lunchtime that first day. We saw a police car come up, and we thought, all right, this is it. And they just kind of kept cruising by the front door and went on their way, and we realized, wow, they're just patrolling like normal. We think we're good. And come to find out we've always had their support also.
Yeah. Talk to me a little bit about those calls you mentioned. This neighbor ratting out neighbor thing, turning everybody against each other, is like one of the worst parts of this whole story. And I think that a lot of these people probably didn't even realize, you know, you're a young family just trying to get things back on track. This doesn't have to be a huge political statement or something like that. What were those calls like? What was the nature of them? What were you dealing with? What was it easy to dismiss, or were there some that were like, okay, this may be an issue for us?
One that really stands out for me was we had a guy leave a message. I guess right before we closed, someone left a message saying, you better be closed. I'm assuming because I got your answering machine, you are. Otherwise, I'm going to call the police. And I was like, well, one, we're closed because it was the very first time that they were telling everybody to close. And two, like, please call the police. Like, I don't know what they're going to do, but like, if that's really what you feel is necessary, then go ahead and do it. And then once we reopened, we did have somebody who called claiming to be the Board of Health, as again, we know that there is no ramifications for us from the Board of Health. So they can show up. And I said, okay, you know, and at that time in my head, I'm going, if someone really wanted to shut us down, they're going to have to show up with some legit paperwork for me to take any of it seriously. Right. So we kind of just laughed it off. But,
and again, we were in the mindset that like nothing was going to close those doors again, ever. That first week, we definitely received some direct messages or Facebook messages from individuals who are anonymous, calling us, super spreaders, baby killers. There were
someone said we should be tarred and feathered, and that I should be stoned
wives of doctors would reach out who were in the community and say, you know, you're essentially, we're working against each other. And it was just noise. We were, again, that deliberation moment, there wasn't anything that was going to change our minds. Mm-hmm. We were doing it for our own personal reasons, come to find out, you know, again, this is 2 years later that we were actually part of the solution. But at the moment, we were just trying to keep food on the table.
What about, you know, with the negative calls and all this stuff, what about from your own membership? Because by that point, I assume the people who are like the stay home, we're afraid crowd, probably drop their membership, and hopefully they're working out at home, you hope. But did you have members still with you at that time who were like, oh, okay, you're doing this, I don't really agree with it?
We did have some members who, once we reopened, were like, hey, I did as much as I could supporting you when you were closed, but now that you're reopened, I'm not ready to come back. It was more of a, not in a negative way, they were just like, I'm not ready to come back, and like they needed to you know, do what they thought was best for them. And we, like I said, we've always been super understanding because we did what was best for us, and we always expect everybody else to do what's best for them as well. Right. So, it was tough because there were a decent amount of people that weren't ready to come back. And I think that that's more so what it was the lack of knowledge still. Like, people were still scared more than it was against. Like I said, we've been in this community that we have of people are so great. So I would never say that they were doing it because they thought we were being neglectful or those people who were saying that we were baby killers or anything like that. I think it was more so just because they weren't ready. But we did, yes, have a significant amount of people who dropped their membership still because they just weren't ready to use the gym. So they, which made sense. But also, when we reopened, like, we did our best to, it wasn't like we just opened the doors and we ran everything as normal. We did have masks for a little while. We put in new photocatalytic oxidation cleaning air units. Like, we had wipes everywhere. We were spraying with disinfectant every 45 minutes. And, you know, we had waves where people had to sign up first. And so, I mean, it's evolved over time that we have gone back to our normal time now. But when we first started those first couple months, it wasn't just like not thought out. You know, we did a lot of deliberating to open, but also to open in a way that would still make people feel safe. We weren't just,
And 2 years goes by, you forget the whole concept was everyone had to feel safe. This was an okay environment. And at the time, that's all we knew was a mask would work. And these machines that she's talking about would clean the air. And we thought that was the only saving grace. So we did it.
And I remember that being a really big hit in the group, that you guys had only been open like a few days. And everyone in the group, the other businesses who were like, I don't know how to do this. How can I get open? You had this machine, like this handheld fogger that looked like a little water gun, and you could just go and do everything with it. And that thing took off in the group. You had a post, and like tons of people were interested in buying that. So I totally can relate to that part of the story, that very common thing, like, we're going to do this the right way. And I think that goes to some of what you were saying, Jessica, about the members and where they were. It wasn't like, hey, I really disagree with the stand you're trying to take. Like, people kind of understood each other better back then than they did today. Because at this point, it's been 2 years of nonstop politicization, whereas at the time, people can relate to themselves still not knowing and being afraid of it, but they could also relate to you and everything you guys were going through. So it was a whole different time. So one question about the, just going back to that, the fogger and all the other investments that you guys made in safety, is that, where is that today? Have you gone back to completely normal?
Well, let's just preface it by saying health clubs are boutique health clubs, like us, are notorious for being one of the cleanest environments you can find. So that was always our stand. I think from day one, we always preached we're the cleanest around, and we still are. This wasn't necessarily a cleaning, sanitization type of movement. It was a... proving to the members and the community that we were still looking to
go above and beyond
for them and put them at safe. So you can speak to where we're at.
Yeah, no, we still have all of the clean air units in the facility. You know, that'll never change. We still clean regularly. We're not necessarily using the fogger, but we still use the medical grade cleaning spray. We still have wipes that we've always had that have the disinfectant on it. We still, you know, even in our waiver, it says, you know, that we're asked people to help take care of the equipment and, you know, be courteous type of thing. So I would say that the biggest change was just the air units that we put in. And that, like I said, will always be here. So that's never going anywhere. And those are a big deal. They are... helping clean all of the air, and as it falls, you know, the ions, all the crazy stuff, helps keep the surfaces, you know, clean from infection as, or clean from the germs, I guess, the easier spreadable germs as well. So it's, you know, we're always, we'll have that stuff. It's just not something you talk about as much now, because it's not
right
in everybody's ear as much either. But you know, we've made positive changes. That is a positive change that came out of this. And those will always be here. We just don't, I guess, talk about it as much.
How about one thing I want to hit on is, you mentioned the specifics of the fitness industry and they're not really being licensure that the government could hold over your head the same way they did with the bars or the salons or whatever. Huge part of the fitness industry is like, yo, we knew extremely early on that obesity is a pretty important risk factor for this thing, like the most or second most. So how did that play into everything? I mean, I'm sure you guys are of the belief that in a time where you're fighting something like COVID, which is so, you know, a risk factor like obesity is so common, it's almost like a community duty to get open and let people access their workouts and stay healthy, right?
Yeah. And I think that that's all per the individual, right? Because at that point, it's more so what you believe versus what you, you know, practice what you preach kind of thing. So we, I think a lot of it for us when we first opened was more mental health than it was physical health. Now knowing more about the disease and how it affects people and all of those things, yet obesity is, you know, is something that people need to focus on. But at the same time, I'm not going to convince George, who's obese, to come in today during the middle of the pandemic, that he needs to make a change today in order to save him, you know, because there's other factors as well prior to that that he was ignoring as well that could have made the change. But I think a lot of the people that were coming in at the time were going stir crazy, right? Not all of them were working as much. There's not many positive things happening in their lives. Whether they have things that are going on, they're trying to figure out if they're going to have a job, or if they have a job, they're working from home and their kids are home with them and their wife is at home or their husband's at home and they're not, you know, like their whole lives have been turned upside down. And a lot of people coming in here, which that was just their, like, their ability to vent, to get a break from everything else. They could come in and they could run, or they could lift, or they could put their headphones in and be somewhere else for that short period of time. Right. So, and like a lot of our community members or people that are here are into fitness, and that's a huge part of it. But a lot of them use it as another way to de-escalate the stress. And I think that that was more of the vibe we were getting, that of people, like it was just a nice break of reality, like to something that was normal in the sense of chaos, right? Like everybody, everywhere else is chaotic. You go to the food store, it's crazy. You go, you're not allowed to go anywhere else, or you try to take your kids out for a walk and there's just people, you know, there was even people being crazy out on walks, you know, running away and walking on the opposite side of the street, or telling people, they yelling at people for not wearing masks outside. Like there was just a lot of crazy stories happening there, and they could come here and just not have to focus on any of that. It was almost like this was, we were trying to be as normal as we possibly could, because that's what we wanted, for everybody. And that was what, you know, I think helped us a lot for the community. It just gave them that sense of normalcy.
Yeah, it's like a sanctuary at the time. All right, getting towards the last questions here. Something I definitely want to ask. Do you guys think that we've seen the last of COVID-related shutdowns in Bucks County? And say we do, what's Transcend going to do?
I hope so. I hope that they never attempt to shut it down. But I think Tommy mentioned it earlier, like we'll never close the doors again. So we're ready to deal with the ramifications of if they decide to try and shut down again, that you know, if they show up with the police that time or offer fines or whatever it is, we're willing to fight it, because it's just not, it wasn't worth it. The 2 months and the stress and the amount of fight that we've had to do, again, for those first 9 years, we fought really hard to get to the peak of everything. It was the best year we've ever had. And then all of a sudden now we're starting over. We're basically at a point, things have changed with our business, with staffing, all those things were a big change when we reopened, that we're basically starting over again. We're starting a new business. I don't know what our, I can't say we have numbers to look back on or years to look back on where you're saying your growth and comparing all the numbers that you look at. We're starting over. It's a new business. It doesn't look the same as it did when we closed down. So I can't compare to years past to make changes for better and all those things. It's basically like we're working again from that starting point, which we did when we first opened the business in general. So I'm not ready to do that ever again, right? We worked too hard to start over for a third time, just not in my capability.
I don't know that there's a situation on the horizon that could rival the abusive neglect of communication like we experienced back then.
Yeah.
And that was the tipping point for everybody. That's why everybody closed their doors and went home that day, because we just didn't know. And I don't know, there's a worst case scenario. And I think most businesses would say the same thing, that there's nothing that's going to ever close their doors again.
The politics has just changed so dramatically. And now we have this constitutional amendment in Pennsylvania. We're the only state to really say to our governor, you're never going to do this again, not ever again, at least without the legislature. So hopefully the politics has changed enough. I'll kind of end it with that last question on the point of politics. We talked about the police potentially being involved or not when you guys first opened. When you reopened, what was it politically? Did you have politicians or local leaders reach out and support?
You know what? We vowed to make it a personal decision. There were other clubs in the country who made it political, and whether, you know, you choose to support it or not, we thought they were on the right track. That wasn't our position, and it was might have even just come from the lack of knowing the political system and what it is that a little boutique club in Wrightstown could actually do to make, you know, influence change. So we had a couple different offices reach out to us. Brian Fitzpatrick office reached out to us and simply just asked questions. Are we doing all right? Have we had any issues with local police who I mentioned were great and continue to be great. I sort of took that information back to the Reopen group and just said, hey, for what it's worth and what you want to, you know, what weight you want to put on it, this is the conversation I had. I had a, you know, a warm, fuzzy feeling afterwards thinking, okay, I think we're going to be all right. And again, whether you support, don't support a particular office, at the very least, I had a contact now that I could go back and say, hey, I think I am having a problem. Can you help me with this? Because again, keep in mind, this was probably within the first week we were on an island. We were in no man's land, and there weren't too many other people opening the doors in those first 7 days.
That goes to how I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up. I mean, it's very hard to overstate, like I said at the beginning of this, that the Reopen movement, Reopen Bucks, would eventually have so many people stand up and find their courage. You guys were the first. It's just such a huge part of the story. I'm so thankful that you guys were a part of the story. I wanted to show you while you were answering there, I reached back and grabbed my keychain. I have always kept this on my keychain, and you know, who am I, just some guy, but hopefully that helps show you guys how much it matters. This is my key fob for everybody listening, that I was a member of Transcend for a couple months or a few months after you guys opened. It was a big deal. What you did, it was very brave, and it made a big difference in Bucks County. So thank you very much. Thank you very much for being with me and having this conversation. Where can folks find out more about Transcend Fitness?
TranscendFit.com or on Instagram, or what is our Facebook
Transcend
and
Instagram? Yeah. Yep. Facebook, Instagram, we're very active, as we still cater to our digital presence, and there are still people who follow us from home. And now it's more common that they couldn't make it into the gym that day, so they utilize our workouts from home. So we're still very much seen on social.
There you go. Awesome. Instagram, very fancy. Yeah, all right, yeah. We'll get those links from you guys, put them in the show notes for everybody. All right, thanks so much for talking today, guys.
Thank you.
We appreciate the opportunity.
All right, see you, everybody.